What a good Thursday night crowd. Thank you for being in your place. It's a blessing to be here. I know there's lots of people traveling around and it's nice. I enjoy hearing that someone's going on a vacation. I enjoy hearing about your vacation. But it's great that when you're here, you're in town and other people on vacation are here and they're visiting with us. That's a blessing. Let's go to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Well, we had the longest day of the year this last week as far as the most sunlight, the summer solstice. And I remember a few years ago, or 2 or 3 years ago, catching Julia Gunzenhauser. She's a thinker. She's a thinker. And I said, today is the longest day of the year. And I just remember her looking at me and she goes, I know, that makes me sad. Now, what about that made you sad? And she said, well, after today, the days start getting shorter. And I'm like, well, I guess you're right. I was telling that to somebody, and they said, let's make sure on December 21st that when everyone's down in the dumps, she better be the pluckiest of us. Make sure there's consistency there. All right, Psalm 100. I want to talk about music tonight. I went back and listened to Pastor Scott Jeffrey Dean, or I missed a name. He talked about all the different names he had. He was out from California, preached on the greatest commandment, and he said, I love being here and hearing the music. I love hearing the music. And we can't be passive about the things that matter. We have to be actively reminding ourselves why we do what we do, not just going through any motions, because so quickly dress standards could start to go out the window here, so quickly music standards could start going out the window here, and we don't want that. So we're going to be preaching on why we dress the way we do. We're going to be preaching on the right type of music. And so I just want to kind of give an opening lesson on things from which I think we'll do some building. I don't know. Remember back in the day, you might get your VCR, and they used to laugh about you have to have a degree just to program your VCR. Remember those days? You might get a piece of equipment, and you might get 2 manuals. You might get the heavy one that you only consult in dire emergency, and you kind of have the quick setup guide. Aren't you glad for those little quick setup guides? They have like 4 or 5 steps, you know, take the plastic off, pull out the little thing that separates the battery from the rest of the unit, and then, you know, kick it, and then you're good to go. And so I'm glad for those little quick setup guides. Nowadays, I think they don't even throw in the big manual anymore. They just say, if you need, you know, watch a YouTube video. Otherwise, here's your quick setup guide. Tonight, I kind of want to just do that. Everyone in here should have their own music philosophy. You don't want to just say, well, somebody at Fairhaven has one, and so that's good enough for me. We all want to have a music philosophy. We want to know, I'm singing this because it makes God happy and I know why. And so I just want to kind of give you a quick setup guide to setting up your own music philosophy. And hopefully some of you are thinking, I have one. That's a blessing. I'm glad you have one. Maybe I can help you tweak it a little bit. Here in Psalm 100, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So here it talks about coming to the Lord, this joyful noise unto the Lord. And then in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. And then there's singing that goes along with the service. There's this joyful noise. And so the question is it a noise that I enjoy, or is it a noise that he enjoys? Is it just I'm apparently very happy? And we know that can't be quite the end of it, is it? If I'm happy, sometimes God is not, right? We catch ourselves enjoying things that makes me happy. Don't ask me whether God's enjoying it or not. It makes me happy, and that's all the thinking I want to do on that. Well, we need to go further, don't we? Amen. Another thing Pastor Dean said is that I've never met somebody who lives in a pursuit of happiness who is actually happy. And it was interesting, when you pursue happiness, it eludes you. He said, if you pursue holiness, happiness has a way of tracking you down. When you find fulfillment in living a life that, Lord, I forget the smile on this face. I want to make sure there's a smile on that face. Amen. And if there's a smile on that face, then after that, that will be what brings me joy. Yes, you've all been there, siblings, when you actually for the first time spent some real money on your siblings for Christmas. I remember my kids were in tears years ago when my wife said, all right, this Christmas, you guys have some money. You will spend some money on your siblings. And they were actually in tears. They didn't want to part with their money. But when they got to the point where they could part with a little bit of money, and they're just waiting, right? They're waiting in anticipation when the wrapping comes off and the sibling looks and they want to react to that look of joy on the other person's face. A lot of times we forget to live that way, don't we? We think it's just the opposite. Well, when God looks down and sees me happy, it'll make him happy because he likes seeing me happy. We have life backwards. You want to live your life saying, when I do this, I know this pleases God. This will put a smile on God's face. And when, and only when, there's a smile on God's face, that's when I am happy.
Amen.
And young people, some of you are miserable. And you blame everyone under the sun. It's that person's fault. It's that person's fault. And the truth is, you're pursuing happiness. When you figure out that it doesn't work, when you pursue holiness, if I can live a life pleasing to God, that will make me happy. As soon as you figure out this life will make sense and you'll have fulfillment in this life. This joyful noise, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So the Bible does tell us, prove all things. There in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So when something enters your life, you need to submit it to a test to see if that thing should be allowed to have a place in your life. And if not, you push it out of your life. All right? Prove all things. So music is one of those areas when it enters your life, you want to be able to test it against something to see if it will have, not, well, I feel good when I listen to that. That's not the test. That's not the test. We want a better test when something enters your life. So joy, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself. There's a lot of biblical truth to that. There's a song that I heard years ago, Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. Jesus and others and you. In the life of each girl and each boy. J is for Jesus. He must have first place. O is for others you meet face to face. Y is for you. And whatever you do, place yourself last to have joy. Now you say, that's cute. Is there a Bible for that? Oh yes, I'm glad you asked. So let's go to the same passage Pastor Dean looked at there in Matthew chapter 22. So the joyful noise, make a joyful noise, the Bible commands, right? Make a joyful noise. So I want us to be able to define what is a joyful noise biblically. And then we have a test that we can test music against when it enters our life. And if it passes the test, it can have a place, right? Prove all things, the Bible says. So it should not be a matter of what's wrong with my music. What's wrong with my music? If you can talk me out of it and pry my fingers off of it, then I will let go of that. You have it backwards. The burden of proof is on you. You're supposed to be proving the things that enter your life. So instead of you asking me what's wrong with your music, you should have already said what's right. Amen. With my music. Amen. Have I tested it biblically? So the burden of proof is on you. It shouldn't be, if I have to talk you out of it, your heart is already attached to that music. And it really is a heart issue. Once your heart craves it, the Bible verses aren't going to have any effect on you. Because you've already decided that it makes sense to you. Okay, so Matthew chapter 22. So we're thinking J-O-Y. That's the principle. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. That is the principle that's good for all of life. All of life. But we're going to apply it to music tonight. So Pastor Dean, he just mentioned the what is the great commandment in the law? So Matthew 22, verse 36. And he just stopped at the great commandment. He didn't really get into, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He didn't get into the second is like unto it. But, and so, Master, what is the great commandment? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So that was his text. And I'm going to add two more verses. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law. On these two commandments hang all the law. This is an important passage right here. And it could have been that, you know, there's ten commandments in the Old Testament. Which one's the greatest? Well, he summarized all ten. Instead of the thou shalt nots of the Old Testament, he summarized all of them in two thou shalts. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. The title of this is the Joyful Noise Song Test. But I had thought of, you know, it would be catchy, right? I thought it's all about love. I thought, I don't know. It's like they would just look at the thumbnail of the YouTube video. Like, I knew if anyone was slipping. But the truth is, it's all about love. It really is. Right here in this passage, the great commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Love thy neighbor as thyself. On these hang all the law and the prophets. So Pastor Dean, great message. I'm not going to, I'm just going to give you his points again and just comment because it's worth bringing up again. He said, loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart has the idea of supreme affection. Remember that? And it was, he said, make sure there aren't, he didn't use these words, but this is me putting into my words, and maybe he did use something nice, but it's not a matter of competing loves in your life, right? There should be no competition. Your supreme affection is on him. And so in the Bible, in other places where it almost talks about if a man hate not his brother, sister, mother, father, all those things, it's not competing, it's comparative. Comparative. You love God so much that he comes first no matter if it hurts that person's feelings or not. If mom says, don't you love mom and dad? And the child says, God has called me into missions and I'm going to go, but I want my grandchildren here. One of those things. Mom, God comes first. And that is the way I'm going to honor you. The way you taught me to honor my God in those areas. It's a comparative love, where God is first, no competition at all. Supreme affection. And then he said, and then with all our soul, he said that's a supreme aspiration. We aspire to love him with all of our soul. And in Romans 8, it talks about how God is conforming us to the image of his son. And Pastor Dean talked about like we're marble slabs and God is chipping away the excess and making us resemble the Lord Jesus more and more. And our aspiration is less of me, more of him, less of me, more of him. How did John the Baptist say it in John 3:30? I must decrease, he must increase. Less of me, more of him. I want to resemble him more and more and more. When we stand before God and hopefully want to hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant, it's not how amazing I was, but how much I resembled Jesus. How much I allowed the Father to conform me to the image of his son. It won't be, Ephesians 2:8-9 is still in the Bible. It's not of works lest any man should boast. It's not going to be, wow. It's going to be how much I resembled the true and faithful one, the Lord Jesus Christ. So supreme affection, supreme aspiration, and then with all of our mind, that supreme attention. Oh my, we all have a little bit of attention deficit syndrome, don't we? It's like, what was that? I said, no, okay. Our minds wander so quickly, don't they? And God is worthy of our supreme attention. So he broke that first one down, loving Lord thy God, into those three areas. I'm going to look at those three areas real quickly. Loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and then loving thy neighbor as thyself. So there's actually three directions of love in this passage. Loving the Father supremely, loving others sincerely, and loving yourself, it says, loving your neighbor as thyself. So there's a third direction of love in this passage, as thyself. But we have to love ourselves strategically. Because so quickly, self-love can turn us into a monster. So we have to be very, very careful of self-love. Okay, loving the Lord supremely, I'm not going to get into that a ton because Pastor Dean preached a whole message on that and I gave you all of his points. But loving our neighbor sincerely. And what this is, loving our neighbor is to some degree, anyone besides me. There's God, there's me, and there's everyone else. Loving your neighbor is kind of everyone else. Parents, this would include your children. This would include the person next door on the mission field. For Dave to go onto the mission field, he's going to want to love those neighbors as himself, those Muslim folks. So as we go, we want to get a hold of God's heart for others. And so if you're loving God with everything we have and everything we are, have you ever done the math? You say, okay, if 100% of my love is going to God, what percentage of love is left over to go to my neighbor and then to myself? The percentages seem off. Well, no, they don't. If you love God supremely, what you want to do when you have that next door neighbor, you want to get a hold of God's heart for that neighbor, and that's how you love your neighbor sincerely. You don't want to decide how you'll love your neighbor. You get a hold of God's heart for your neighbor, and you love that neighbor the way he does. And that will cause you, I don't want to ruffle feathers and bring up the gospel. That's you loving them.
Amen.
We need to get a hold of God's heart for our neighbor.
Amen.
Because God sent his son to die for that neighbor. How dare you love them with your love and forget his? You're supposed to love him with all, 100%, nothing left over. And you pray for your neighbor and say, God, I need your heart for my neighbor. You don't want him going to hell. You don't want her going to hell. Oh, God, show me how I can be that right type of witness. Parents with your children. I don't like disciplining them the way the Bible says. It seems like there's new progressive ways. That's you loving your child with an impure love. You need to get a hold of God's heart for your own child. He loves you better than you do. He loves them better than you do.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
He loves your child better than you. And if you try to have a heart for them without checking in and saying, God, I need your heart for my child, and I need to trust you, you love them better than me. And you know better than I do how they should be raised. I will submit to what you say. I don't care what modern progressive mumbo jumbo you found on the internet. They don't know your child. God does. Get a hold of his heart for your child and raise them the way the Bible tells you to raise them. Don't talk yourself out of any of it. The Bible says you hate them. If you will not discipline them, you will not paddle them when they need to be paddled. And you're going to argue with God. You're going to lose that child because you're trying to love them and say, God's love doesn't matter. The last thing, love thyself strategically. It's the same thing. You need to get a hold of God's heart for you. Don't love yourself. That love for self cannot be in competition with God. You need to say, God, you love me better than I do. I need to get hold of your heart for me. Thank you for the blessings you've given to me. Boy, a lot of times we forget all the blessings God gives to us, don't we? Boy, the devil comes up and says, what has God ever done for you? And boy, you say, yeah, what has he ever done for me? What have you ever done for me? I raised this fist that you gave me. And these working fingers that you gave me. And I cry out, what have you ever done for me with this mouth that you gave me? Standing on these feet that you gave me. Drawing breath that you gave me. With the strength from the food that I ate today that you gave me. What have, boy, the devil lies to us. And pretty soon we're like, well, if you would just be faithful to me, I wouldn't be so tempted to go after the devil's lies. Oh my, how foolish we are. What has God ever done for you? Only everything good that's ever come into your life. Boy, I remember years ago, one of my children coming home, and she had a little bag of Tootsie Rolls that she had gotten in Sunday school. And boy, there was, I think, 10 or 12 little Tootsie Rolls. And she came home from Sunday school, and there they were. And she's like, ooh, well, Mom, how you doing? I'll just be over there eating all these Tootsie Rolls. And Mom says, no, why don't you eat two or three of them and put the rest in the pantry, and I'll let you know when you can eat some more. And that seemed acceptable at the time because there were two or three Tootsie Rolls that she could eat. So she ate her two or three Tootsie Rolls, stuck them in the cabinet, but after a while, she's like, boy, I sure would like more of those Tootsie Rolls. And besides, those are my Tootsie Rolls. Those were given to me. How dare Mom tell me that I'll have to check in with her to have more of my Tootsie Rolls. What I'll do is I'll quietly go and eat some more of my Tootsie Rolls. Well, praise God that moms have a sixth sense, right? When things get too quiet in the house, moms are like, something is not right. Dads, we're different, aren't we? If it's quiet, we're like, man, I'm pretty amazing. It's quiet. I am super dad. And moms know better. And so I remember my wife comes and comes down and sees her, you know, I can just see the look of, you know, of guilt. There's, you know, I don't know, probably not Tootsie Roll chocolate all over, but there's, you know, you disobeyed. I want you to throw the rest of the Tootsie Rolls away. Oh my, so she got in trouble, she threw the rest of them away, but there, for a little bit, there was hatred in her eyes. Hatred, oh. Boy, and again, hatred, that's inside of every single one of us, that monster. When self-love is allowed to rage out of control, it's what happened to David when he decided, I'm the king, and that's an attractive woman, and I'm going to have her, and I don't care who I have to hurt to get her. And if that can happen to the man after God's own heart, how easy is it for that to happen to any one of us? That's why the Bible doesn't tell us that we can't love ourselves, right? Here it says, love thy neighbor as thyself. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, husbands, love your wife as you already love your own body. It's assumed that we love ourselves, but the truth is we have to say, oh God, I need to have your heart for me. You love me, and I need to tap into your heart for me and learn to love myself with your love for me. Learn to live. I love you because you first loved me. And what does it say in Corinthians where it says that God's love constrains us? His love constrains us and holds us to the right path. Getting a hold of God's heart for us. All right, so very quickly, those are the three directions of love. Now, music has three directions. Music has three directions. We have that direction, we have this direction to others, and we have this direction to me. All right? So there are three audiences of music. There's heaven, there's others, and there's me. Let me read that to you. In Colossians 3:16, the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. All right? One of the audiences of music, teaching and admonishing one another. All right? So others is one of the biblical audiences of music. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Did you pick up on another audience there? To the Lord. That is one of the audiences. Then, in Ephesians 5:19, he says, speaking to yourselves, including you. You are included in this. You are one of the audiences of music, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So I am one of the audiences, others are one of the audiences, and God is one of the audiences, and we get our priority for those audiences from Matthew 22, where the Bible reminds us that that audience is first. And then this other audience, loving our neighbor, making sure we're careful with our responsibility to others around us, loving them sincerely and loving myself strategically. There are things that will stir up the flesh and cause self-love to rage out of control so quickly. And music is one of those things that can stir us up to be someone else so quickly. I know I've shared this with you before, but it seems like maybe music is more subdued at grocery stores than it used to be. It seems like they would play like rock turned down back in the day when I was a teenager or something. And boy, there'd be something playing over there and it would just turn you. You could be walking through the store and become somebody else. And the music, you kind of walk into the parking lot and you're like, anybody, somebody cross me. I dare you. And see what happens to you. And you're like, what? How did that happen? This is a true story. I think it was in Oregon. They were having these gangs that were assembling outside of these gas stations. And so they thought, well, how will I get these gangs to quit? People don't want to come and get gas because they fear they get robbed and all these things. Well, they started playing classical music out into the parking lot, and the gangs left. You could put up signs, right? No gangs. And I think you just double the number of the gangs there, right? With a sign there. But they started playing the music that didn't fit who they were, and they left. They left. So Jesus others yourself. And I don't have a time to really develop this. We'll do more of this as time passes. But Jesus, is he first with our music? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And again, we would say, but I feel really good about God when I listen to this. I feel really good about God when I listen to this. That goes back to what we said earlier, isn't it? That I'm assuming that his smile will come as a result of mine instead of the correct order where I live for his smile. And I smile after I know that I have his smile upon my life. Is this pleasing to him? And only then will it be pleasing to me. Others. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:9. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Again, this liberty of yours. It's interesting the way the Bible puts that, this liberty of yours. it just seems like almost a sermon title there, this liberty of yours. Take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So that goes for everything, but in the area of music. If you're playing that, is somebody going to be like, ooh, so this is what you listen to? It's like, why are you doing? Why are you acting? what's the body language? Can I sneak in your car and listen to that with you? Well, no, you don't have to sneak. I'm not hiding anything. Okay. It's pretty obvious that we want to make sure that our music is God-honoring. We don't want to be a stumbling block to people that are around us. It's like, oh, or even the person that says, oh no, you listen to that? I was hoping that you listen to something. I was hoping to gain maturity by being around you. But I hear that you're listening to this, that it's a little more fleshly than I thought you listened to. And then the last thing, yourself. Yourself. 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I keep under my body. Our body is constantly, it's like a sniveling child. And it's constantly there saying, but I want, but I want, but I want. And my understanding is this is a boxing term where you can punch your opponent below the eye and keep them dazed and quiet. They're like, but at least they're not sniveling and telling you how things are going to be. Paul is saying that when his flesh starts making suggestions about how the day is going to go, he's like, quiet. You're not in charge. And that really is part of learning to walk in the Spirit, like it talks about in Galatians 5 and 6. The flesh not having liberty to direct things, but the Spirit of God and the Word of God having a sensitivity to what God is leading you to do, not the flesh. You say, well, Brother Mitchell, can you give me a list of songs? I think for tonight I just wanted to give you some principles. And you know, if you're not behaving, you're misbehaving. If you're not making an effort to tend your spiritual walk with God, it's getting overgrown with weeds. If you have a garden, the moment you stop tending it, it's starting to get filled with weeds. Your spiritual life, if you're passive about it, every day we have to be working at it. Lord, oh God, please help me. We have to tend our spiritual walk with God every single day. And the moment we stop, the weeds are taking over and we're losing it. Tonight, maybe someone has said, well, in this area of music, I've kind of just done what I like. Well, we got to stop that. We got to get back to in the area of music and every single area of our life, is God pleased with this aspect of my life and every aspect of my life? Joy, Jesus, others, yourself. You live this life pursuing happiness and it will elude you. You live this life pursuing holiness and you can't outrun the happiness that will track you down. Let's pray.